Let's take a look at the Gemara on Daf Vav Amud Aleph, so that we can continue some of the discussions that we had. Yechiel's given me a copy of Reb Chaim on stencil. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how we could work out the time scheduling. So let's begin with Omalei Rav Asi L'Rav Ashi. If we're counting down from the top of the Amud, it should be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines down from the top.
And it says what?
Omalei Rav Asi L'Rav Ashi. So we spoke about, if you recall, the halacha of tmura in the case of a yorish, and we vacillated back and forth as to why a yorish is excluded, if there are two yorishim, I should say, two brothers, excluded from being meimir. One approach was to say that they are shutfim in the classical sense, and that's if you assume that Yerusha Kanya. And the other way is to say that even if Yerusha Lo Kanya, there's a Xeris HaKosev Im HaMer Yamer that excludes two Yarshim. There's a Ribui for one Yoresh, and we have to understand why we needed a Ribui to tell me that a Yoresh has the power of being Meimir. And there we spoke about the fact that the Yoresh is bringing the Karban L'Chovas Aviv, if you remember that. But the exclusion of two Yarshim is a special Allah. Iyamid Bishlema Kanyalahu, if you can assume that Yerusha is Kona, and therefore when the father dies, the Yarshim now inherit their father, and therefore they become the Miskaprim on this Karban. And then we have to differentiate between one Yoresh as opposed to two Yarshim. Hainu dechad miyoh meimer. We can understand that if there's one Yoresh, he can generate Tmur because he's now the Bailim over the Karma. We're holding that Yerusha Kanya. Ela iyamet lo kanya lahu. In the case of one Yoresh, where the Brisa says explicitly that he can be meimer, but if he doesn't have a Kinyan, because we're holding now Yerusha Lo Kanya, so why does the Brice assume that he could be Meimir? He doesn't have the status of Bailam. Only the Bala Karban could be Meimir. So the Gemara says, Heichi Meimir. How can the Yoresh accomplish Tmura? V'amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We have three dinim which require what we call Shaloh, we require Bailus. And three dinim that apply to a Bailim. And this is in regard to Karbanos. The Eluhem, and here are the three cases. Hamagdish Mosif Chomesh. Okay, this has to do with the case of a Karban that became a Baal Mum. And once it's a Baal Mum, it lends itself, it's Nitfas in Pidgeon. And if he does a Pidgeon, then he has to add a Chomesh. So that's called Chilul HaKarbon. Chilul Kedushas HaKarbon after it became a Baal Mum, and he has to add to its value an extra Chomesh. But that's only in the case where he, the Magdish, is going ahead and he's being Mechal the Kodshim onto Mos, again in the case of Baal Mum. But if let's say somebody else other than the Magdish himself would go ahead and be Mechalel the Kodshim, let's say he got permission to do so, then he would not be chayav in Tosefes Chomesh. The chayav Chomesh is limited to the Magdish itself. Himself, I should say. So for example, we have a case where Reuven is the Magdish and Shimon is going to bring the Karbon. Again, in this case he can't bring the Karbon because it was a Balas Mum. But Shimon is the one who can use this Karbon, if it wasn't a Baal Mum, as a Kapara. Let's say, for example, if I sell you my rights to a Karbon so that you can be the Miskaper, and now the halacha is, if instead of bringing the carbon, you're being machal the kedushas carbon onto Mos because it's a balmum. You don't have to be mosif a chomesh. Only the magdish himself is mosif a chomesh. Number two, we have a second halacha which was brought down again in the name of Rav Yochanan regarding bailus. Miskaper oset mura, which means if a person was magdish a carbon for the sake, we'll call him Reuven, he's the magdish, for the sake of Shimon, that Shimon should be miskaper in the carbon, then Reuven himself has forfeited his bailus over the carbon. And now the only person who can achieve Tmura is the Miskaper, is Shimon. So on the one hand, with regard to Tosefes Chomesh, in the case of Chil, Kedushas, Balmum, onto Mos, it's Dafka the Magdish who's considered the Bailum. And he will have to add the Chomesh. As opposed to the Miskaper, he does not have to add a Chomesh if he does the Chil. The flip side is going to be the case in Tmura. And this is all going to impact on the case of a Yorish. That in the case of Tmura, when you have the dichotomy between the Magdish and the Miskaper, who's going to be able to make a Tmura? Not the Magdish, but only the Miskaper. Then we have a third halacha, and that's called Mamon HaShevet. What's Mamon HaShevet? HaTorem, a person who's Marfish Truma, he hasn't yet designated which Kohen will receive the Truma. And in this case, he, the Torem, has what's called Tovas HaNoah, meaning he has a certain bailus in the Truma insofar as he could benefit by choosing the Kohen of his choice. And now he was Torem from Perish Shaloh Al Shel Chavero. So let's assume you have Reuven and Shimon, correct? And Shimon owns the Peros, and Reuven takes his peros and he's mafrish on Shimon's peros. Question is, can he do that without reshus? Let's assume that he can do such a thing. Now, who has the tovas hanah in such a case? Who gets to decide which kohen could receive this truma? So I'll read to you what he says here in the Masifta. He says, "Afshe truma hi mamon shel shevet kahuna." Even though after that frosh, the truma actually belongs to the Kohanim, it doesn't belong to any individual Yisrael. But he says, "Nasna Torah lebala peros." Whoever owns the peros and he was mafresh truma was granted by the Torah the schus. Lase sol liyeza kohen sheyirtz. He can choose the kohen of his choice, and that's called tovas hanah. Zechus zu mesura lemisha haya bala peros. Shenitrimu v'lola bala tevel she'olav nitrima truma. So you have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven is the bala hatevel, right? He needs to be mafrish truma. And then there's someone else who takes, we'll call him Shimon, he takes his own peros and he's torem in order to be machalel, so to speak. I shouldn't say machal, but to remove the status of tevel from Reuven's truma. So again, we have this dichotomy. On the one hand, the owner of the peros is Reuven. He's the one who has a problem of tevel. He has a chiyuv hafrosh. Comes along Shimon, and he takes from his peros, and he's mafrish truma to remove the isa tevel from the peros of Shimon. Now we have truma. Who gets the rights to give the truma? Is it the person who gave his peros and separated them and designated as truma? We call him Shimon. Or is it Reuven whose tevel was from which the truma was mufrash? In other words, he's the owner of the tevel. So Rav Yochanan says that the tovas hanah here belongs to Reuven. The schus is given The schus is given to Shimon, right? Shimon is the Baal HaPeros. You know, since Shimon was mafish, his Peros is truma, even though who benefited from it? Reuven, who's the Baal HaTevel. Nevertheless, since Reuven was the one who gave his Peros, he's the one who has the Tovas HaNoi, decides who gets the truma. So now we're going to focus amongst these three dinim on the second one of the dinim. So let's go back to the middle din. miskaper osa truma tmura. So it's not the magdish who has the power to be meimir, but rather it is the miskaper. It means the schus of tmura lies inherent in the kapara. Whosoever has rights to the kapara, he's the one who can do tmura. Oh. So Rav Asi asks the following question. According to Rabbi Yochanan, that it's the miskaper who has rights to do the tmura. And now let's assume that according to Rabbi Yochanan, remember we discussed this at great length, ein yoresh kone, meaning there's no kinyan yerusha according to Rabbi Yochanan. So it means the following, that if the father designated a karbon and then he died, the yorshim do not have rights to be miskaper. If they don't have rights to be miskaper, then ipso facto they don't have rights to tmura, to be meimir, because only the miskaper is osa tmura. So what we have to do now is we have to create, according to Rabbi Yochanan, a kind of status of a miskaper for the yorshim to justify why they're meimir, even though Yerusha lo kanya. So we're going to have to find some sort of new breakthrough to define a cut out new ground of a miskaper, give person the status of a miskaper, even though he's not the Bala Karbon, even though Yerusha lo kanya. Because otherwise, how do we justify the fact that the Yoresh could be Meimir?
I was talking about the one that was Mafrish. He died, he didn't die.
He was Mafrish and he died, and now there's only one Yoresh.
But who's the miskaper?
That Yoresh would have normally been the miskaper if you hold Yerusha kanya.
Right, right.
But if Rabbi Yochanan holds Yerusha lo kanya, he's not the miskaper.
But neither is.
And he's not the miskaper. Why does the Brisa say that he can be meimir when we have a principle that ein ha magdish miskaper ella ein ha magdish meimir ella miskaper meimir? But Rabbi Yochanan is robbing the Yorish of his status as a miskaper.
Yeah,
until we see the Gemara's answer.
Okay, there is no miskaper then. Because he can't be the original one, because he's not here anymore.
Right, he's not here anymore, so for sure he can't be Meimir. The question is, can the Yoresh be Meimir? So the Gemara derived from the conclusion, Im Hamer Yamir, that afilu Yoresh Meimir. So that makes sense if you hold Yerusha Kanya, because then he has rights to the Kapar of the Karbon. But if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan, the Yerusha Lo Kanya, he doesn't have rights to be a Miskaper, how can he be Meimir? So the Gemara comes up with a brand new idea of a miskaper, which even Rabbi Yochanan would agree that a Yoresh is a miskaper. How so? So Gemara says, Mikiva lo mechapra, but Mikufya mechapra. There's a long Rashi on this. Let me just try to give you what I think is the summary here. There's a new concept called Mikufya mechapra. There's the primary kapara of a karbon, and there's what I call a secondary kapara of a karbon. That's called mikufya. Mikufya means literally something that floats on the surface. It doesn't really go down below the surface. It's not, shall I say, fundamental or essential. It doesn't touch the essence. It's mikufya. Mikufya means on the top. Oh. So if you ask me about the kviyus kapara, that belongs to the Bailam. And that's the Kvius, the Kapara Kvua. That doesn't belong to the Yarshim because Rabbi Yochanan holds Yerusha Lo Kanya. However, there's another concept of Kapara, we'll call it a fallback kind of Kapara, secondary Kapara, which is Safa Lamala, that's called Mikufya. It floats on the surface. And even though the Yarshim are not considered Bailim on the carbon of their father as far as the Kapar Kvua is concerned, because Ein Yerusha, Ein Kinyan Liyoresh. But nevertheless, the Yarshim can get a Kapara, which is called Mikufya. Now, what does that mean? What exact Kapara do they gain? Mikufya. Okay.
How could they make this up? I mean, who says there's such a thing?
Let's first see what it is, and then Dr. Joel, you'll ask me, where does it come from? But let's try to, again, I just need to sink, you know, I want to sink my teeth into this Kapara Mikufya. What's the substance, you know, of this Kapara Mikufya? So you look at Rashi, he just gives you a literal translation of Mikufya. He says, based on a pasuk in Malachim Beis, that Akfu Yadayhu, he says, Lashon Tzaf, V'yotzaf HaBarzel Targum V'kofa Barzela. So Tzaf, I think, means to float on the surface. Okay, but what is it all about? So let's take a look at the next Gemara, which I think will shed light on this concept called Kapara Mikufya, and then we'll get back to Yorishim. We have to talk about two cases in Yorishim. Number one, if there's only one Yorish, and he could be Meimir. Number two, if there are two Shutfim, and they cannot be Meimir. And again, keep in mind that how do we know that Rabbi Yochanan holds that Yerushalom Kanya, that was from the case of a father who designated what Karban? A mincha, and the law is that a mincha cannot come be shutfin, right? Mincha, there's no such thing as carbon shutfin. Yet, paradoxically, to our surprise, Rabbi Yochanan says that in this case, the Yorishim can bring the carbon mincha. Why? Because Yerushalom Kanya, therefore they're not shutfin. And just to remind us of. So Gemara now goes back to this, to the Mishnah, and we have a principle in the Mishnah of Shalolishma. The carbon is kosher, but lo ol bailam shem chova. Iboilahu. So the Gemara says, what is the nature of the kapara here in the case of lolishma? Because again, we're going now, we're very much influenced by Reish Lakish. What was Reish Lakish's principle? That a carbon cannot be kosher unless it has some sort of element of kapara. So here's where this kufra. You remember kufra, which means that it floats on the surface. Iboilahu, the Gemara says, kipru al mashibou, o lo kipru. Is there some sort of a kapara, even in the case of a zevach shalolishma, for the original goal or purpose of the carbon? Right? So let's say the carbon was designated as a karbon ol, and it was brought l'shem shlomim. Is there some element of kapara which is achieved or is acquired, whatever word you want to use, by the baal ha'ola, even though it's shechted l'shem shlomim? And again, he doesn't have to replace the ola because it says, I'm sorry, he has to replace the ola, but on the other hand, the carbon is what? It's kosher. Now, let's assume kosher means it's machaper. So, what is going on? The Gemara says, al mashabo, that there's some sort of kapara. No, now again, if there is a kapara, is it a complete kapara? It's hard to say it's a complete kapara because it wasn't brought lishma. But on the other hand, if you're going to tell me that it is a kapara, so why does he have to bring another carbon? So you remember we discussed that in every case of a neder, there are two dimensions of a neder. One is, I have to be makai in my neder, right? And I have to bring that carbon just as I committed myself to do so. And the second dimension is that I want to achieve a kapara from this carbon. So the Gemara is suggesting that I can have a kapara, but yet I haven't fulfilled my obligation. So he has to bring another karbon. I'm explaining the first tzad in the Gemara, that kipru al mashabo. He's going to have to bring a replacement karbon to fulfill his neder, because this karbon is not really an ola, but at the same time, kipru al mashabo. It has that quasi-kapara power, which we haven't yet figured out what it is. Oh, now the Gemara says the Olaf Tzad is to say lo kipru, that in this case there is no kapara for this karbon because it was brought shalo lishma.
So why?
So let me read to you a footnote. I'm just trying to remember who he says it in the name of. Okay, I'm not sure who he says in the name of. He says the following. The afal gav shebein kach ubein kach any yotzi yidei chovaso b'karbon zev the olav lahavi karbon acher. How can you explain this suffix in the Gemara that maybe he has kapara from this karbon shalolishma? if in any event the Mishnah says explicitly he has to bring another karma. So if he has to bring another karma, and he wasn't in fulfillment of his obligation with the first karma that was brought shalom lishma, so what does Gemara mean that he was miskaper? According to one side of the Gemara, if he was miskaper, then why does he have a chova to bring another karma? So he says the following: Safek haGemara hu ha'im bein tayim mogein olav hakorban arisho mipnei yisurim haruuyim lavo olav keonish al cheta. This is all based on Rashi Dibra Maskil Kipru, and he says the following: that although in the long run he's going to get punished for his sins, but he can get a protective temporary shield that'll prevent him and protect him from Yisurim up until the point when he finally achieves his ultimate kapar and he replaces the karma. So it works like this: as far as the ultimate onesh that he deserves and Chas Shalom will suffer for this sin, he's going to have to replace this karma with a karma lishma. But although this karban is not a karban ola, let's say, for shechted l'shem shalom, if it has some sort of generic status, it is able to afford him with a temporary protection against ownership.
From the original sin that he's what?
From the original sin which he wants to achieve kapara from. So he has some level of kapara. We're not finished yet. And he says that basically this possibility, the first possibility in the Gemara, is going to solve the problem of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is going to say, well, I don't get it. If he has a kapara, then why is he bringing a second karma? And if he doesn't have a kapara, why would he bring the first karma? That was the Mimon Shach of Reish Lakish. The answer is going to be right here in this side in the Gemara Safek. Namely, that he has a kapara through the first karban. The first karban is kosher, and it does protect him from onshin, but only on a temporary basis. He still has to get himself a real bona fide ola, which is shechted lishma, and that's going to completely undermine any need for onesh. That's called a gemar kapara. So he gets a tchilas kapara, which is a temporary kapara. And he says that when the Gemara asks, Madu etzarch lavi korban sheni, li achar shemogin olav harishon mini yisurim, if the first korban is machaper, even though it's shalom lishma, to protect him from yisurim, why does he have to bring the second korban? And the answer is, ki afal gav de machaper, eno kapara gmura, elagak, Megan olav b'pnei yisurin ad sheyavi hakorban hasheni. And he quotes a sefer called the Tzon Kodshim. If I'm not mistaken, the Tzon Kodshim is one of the two achronim which the Chafetz Chaim insisted should be printed along with the Shita Mekubetzes on Kodshim. I think so. In any event, there's one of the famous achronim called Itzon Kodshim, and he says that there's this shtickle Torah in which a karbon could have a protective value of kapara on a temporary basis up until the full kapara, which is only achieved when he brings the karbon lishma to replace the karbon shalo lishma. So again, we're facing a very interesting crossroads here. And we're saying that on the one hand, he needs a second karban. On the other hand, he gets some kapara from the first karban. Which again, in Reish Lakish's frame of reference, was a stir b'nei u'bei, mimon nefshach. If you're telling me he does achieve kapara, why is he bringing a second karban? If he doesn't achieve kapara, what was the purpose of being machshir the first karban, going through all the motions of hakrovas hakarban without a kapara? So the answer is we have some sort of a middle ground over here, which is yeah kapara but nish kapara, right? And that would be the case of shalom lishma, that a karban that was brought shalom lishma according to the first side in the Gemara does generate some sort of quasi kapara or temporary kapara, and it protects him from yisurim, but only on a temporary basis. He has a responsibility and obligation to achieve a kapara gemura. He's going to have to fulfill that obligation by bringing a second karban lishma. Amar Rav Sheshes or Rav Shisha Bered Rav Idi Mistabra the lo kipru. The e salkedaita kipru sheni huba. So Rav Shisha refuses to accept this middle ground kapara. That's not a kapara gemura, but it's a partial kapara. He assumes that it's all or nothing proposition. Either you are miskaper, and then there's no reason to bring a second karbon, or there's no kapara, and then we're back to Reish Lakish's kasha. That imlo, right? The next line is elamai lo kipru, meaning if you're not willing to accept this middle kapara, and no one's willing to say that he gets a full-fledged kapara. So if you don't have a middle kapara-wise partial kapara, you don't have a full kapara for sure, then you're left with zero kapara. If you're left with zero kapara, lama hu kariv, we're back to Reish Lakish's argument, that the karban should be totally meaningless because it's absolutely devoid of any element of kapara. And he writes in the footnote, Tzarech Iyun halo hi mavish kushis Reish Lakish bedaf he. Meaning, why did Rav Shisha feel compelled to repeat and reiterate the same exact kasha of Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish adaf he says, quote, Im ksherim hem yiratzu, v'im eino maratzim lama boim. So we have the same kasha before. And that's going to be the subject of Tosfos Dibra Maskil, the Isal Kedait. So let's just focus for a minute on the language of Rav Shisha. He says the isal kedaitach kibru is sheni lama huba. In other words, if he already achieved his kapara, why does he need a second karb? Now, in our Mishnah, we're talking about a case of an olal shem shlom. So he quotes now again the achronim who build on Tosfos, and they say, Ma raya hizu? What's the compelling logic here of Rav Shisha? Halo yochal odom lisnadev kama olos bezuachar zu. We're talking about a carbon ola. Again, we're not talking about an adava, but let's take a look at the case in adava. He can bring one ola after the other ola. Now the second ola is mechaper on what? Nothing, because he brought it immediately after the first ola. He says, therefore, filu im harishona nikrava lishma ukfar his kaper ba, then the second ola has no element of kapara. So you're telling me in shalol lishma, if you achieved kapara, even in the case of shalol lishma in this ola, then there's no point to bringing a second carbon. Sheni lama hu ba. Well, let the sheni be a carbon adava. V'yesh lomar, he says, rayas rav sheshehi mikachshu chayev lahavi carbon acheres, ola acheres. Meaning, the Mishnah says, lo olu l'bayon l'shem chobah, they have to replace the karma. Well, if they were miskapa with the first carbon, which was shalol lishma, why you know, there is such an entity as an olas nidava, which has no element of kapara. Let's call it a doron, you know, some sort of gift HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But don't tell me that he's obligated to replace the first carbon with the second carbon. Rav Shisha says that the only reason you can justify that is by assuming he wasn't miskapa with the first carbon. If he was miskapa, why is he chayav to bring a second carbon? Im kipra rishona shekarva shalol lishma madua eino yotze yidei chovaso. Why, asked Rav Sheshes, why does he have to bring a second karma? Okay, the balance of this presentation here is a little bit off the beaten path. He wants to say that maybe the second karbon, is a kasha of the achron, maybe the second karbon is a chiyuv because of the avera of shalol lishma, the first karbon. I'll just read it to you very quickly. Shema, why not say the following? Mischayev hu ba'ol acheres kedei l'chaper al averas machsheves shalol lishma Again, who had the Shalol Lishma? Was it the Kohen or the Bialim? I don't know. Sha'avar Birishona, the Hu Iser Esei, Re'ei B'taras HaKodesh, and he says, Al Esei Ze over a Kohen V'lo HaBailim. So the Havamina, the Taras HaKodesh, assumed that it's the Baal HaKorban who violates the Esei, because he had the Machshava Shalol Lishma. And he seems to say in this maskota, no, the Shalol Lishma that we're talking about in our mission is not the Shalol Lishma of the Bialim, but rather the Shalol Lishma of the Kohen. And therefore it makes no sense to say that the Baal HaKorban is obligated to bring a second Korban on the Avera, and assuming the first Korban was did achieve Kapar, on the Avera of Shalol Lishma. Because even if I grant you that Shalol Lishma is somehow an Iser Aseh, but nevertheless that was violated by the Kohen and not by the Yisrael.
Even so, this logic would only apply when the first carbon was an Ol, not anything else.
Right. He's talking about a carbon Ol. He says, V'im Kippur HaRishon Al Ikar HaVera, even though it was Shalol Lishma, Shuvi Efshar Lahavi Carbon Acher Al HaVera Shal Shalol Lishma, because that Avera belongs to the Kohen. So that's what we have over here.
The Kohen has to bring the Korban, or he doesn't?
No, I don't think so. You know, he'll have to do tshuva, I guess, for having a machshava shalol lishma.
He doesn't bring the Korban.
Who? The Kohen? No, I don't think he has to bring a Kohen.
He also doesn't have to pay any damages.
Well, yeah.
Let's read another few lines, and then I want to show you the Nefesh Tova. Omer Rav Ashi, Rav Shesha, Bered Rav Idi, Hachi Kokashale. Knows Rav Ashi wants to embellish Rav Shesha's Kash. Okay, now we're going on the first side of the Gemara's Safek that the Karban Shalol Lishma was Mechaper. Iyamet Bishlei Lo Kipro. Here's his Kash. If you go with the second side that there was no Kapara, which means that Shalol Lishma, if a Karban was Shechted Shalol Lishma, it's not Miskaper. Correct? It's not Miskaper according to the second side. So then I can understand and justify why the Karban is brought, even though it has no Kapara element. That doesn't bother Rav Shesha on that side that it's not Miskaper. Why? Mikach Shlishmo Ka'asi. You know, since l'chadchila he was magdish the karban for the purpose of bringing it lishma and in order to achieve kapara. Once it was miskadish b'kedushas karban, then he has to be makriv the karban even if it's not miskaper. Again, this is all antithetical to Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, "What do you mean you're makriv a karban without kapara?" And Rav Ashi says, "No, there's no problem. Why? Because since at the time that he was magdish the karban for the purpose of kapara, then the kedushas karban is such that we have to be makrivin even without the kapara. So we only need the kapara element, the potential kapara element in the hakadosha from the get go, but we don't need it in the hakrova. When we get to the hakrova, we have different dinim that take over. The karban was already sanctified, and it's got Kedushas Mizbeach, it's got to be brought on the Mizbeach, and that's going to be true because he didn't achieve Kapara. He has a responsibility to bring this Karban, he's got to replace this Karban with another Karban, but this Karban has to be brought because he was Magdish Lechatchila in order to achieve Kapara, even though at the end of the day, because of Shalol Lishma, it's not going to generate Kapara, he still has to bring the Karban. That's Ravash. This has to be understood. Oh, so what was the kasha of? Oh wait, but let's just finish up. Visheni lama hu ba lechaper. Now, since he didn't achieve according to this tzad any kapara through the shalol lishma, we understand very well why he's obligated in the second karban. So the first karban has to be brought because it was akadosha l'shem kapara. The second karban has to be brought in order to achieve kapara. Eli.
What the first one was brought without kapara.
The first one is going to be brought without kapara because the hakdash of the karban was al menashe is kapara.
So there's no amara then.
Well, I'm not sure. Again, we said that
only
if
the
we said that Oh, yeah, yeah. So let's go over that one more time. There was a Magdish and there was a Miskapin, correct? So who has the rights, the authority to be Meimir? Only the Miskapin, we said, correct?
And there's no Miskapin.
Let's go back over this one more time. Who Miskapin also said Tmurim.
Right.
Right.
And yeah, there's no Miskapin.
Right.
So there's no Miskapin.
If you would say Magdish Meimir, then he was the Magdish.
Right. Right.
Okay, so we've covered our grounds, meaning as far as the second side in the Gemara, that if there's no Kapara, then we understand why we bring the first Karban, says Rav Ashi. We understand why we bring the second Karban. So what was Rav Shisha's Kasha? Ella, here was Rav Shisha's Kasha. E Amrit, if you're going to tell me, Kipru, that he achieved Kapara through the first Karban, is Shani Lama who bought, in other words, it was Pashut to Rav Sheshes, that if he did achieve Kapara through the first Karban, there's no need to require a second Karban to replace the first Karban. Therefore, we must assume that Shalol Lishma does not generate any Kapara. Again, if it generates no kapara, so why are we bringing the first karban? And the answer is that doesn't bother me. Why? Because mikach lishmakas, meaning since the original hakrava was for the sake of kapara, then you have to be makriv this karban on the mizbeach. Okay. Now let's take a look at the nefesh tov. Well, that's what I want to discuss with you. I have three candidates here. The first candidate we started but we didn't finish, that was Nova Samach Zion, okay? And that touches on this whole concept of bringing, you know, of the Yorish bringing his father's karbon. The second one had to do with Meiser Sheni, and that was number Ayin. Okay, I think the one in the middle we did a pretty decent job on. That was about Tmurat Shutfim. That was Samach Tez. And now we're up to Os Ayin Beis, which is this suffix that we just learned in the Gemara. Okay. Now, in order to appreciate Siman Ayin Beis, we have to learn a sugya on Daf Samach Dalet. And this is a Tosfos who changes the whole nature of this pshat. You know, we assumed that the whole sugya was talking about a Korban Ola, and if the Ola was brought Shalol Lishma, the question is, what Kapara power does that Shalol Lishma have? And paradoxically, at the same time, does he have to bring a second carbon ola? Because lo ol l'bayil l'shem chov. But Tosus later on Daf Samach Dalet is going to reinterpret the sugya as referring not to a carbon ola, but rather to a carbon asham. Now again, carbon asham is machlokas tanoim in our Mishnah, whether or not the carbon is kosher. But let's go according to the Tanakhama, that a Korban Asham, like a Korban Ola, if it was brought Shalol Lishma, then it's kosher, but Eina Ola L'Bailim L'Shem Chova. Now the fact that we're talking about L'Shem Chova in the case of an Asham is very comfortable for us, because as opposed to an Ola, which can be subcategorized as either a Korban Chova or a Korban Nedava, in the case of Asham, there is no such thing as a Korban Nedava, Ein Asham Bab Nedava. And therefore, every case of an Asham has to be, by definition, a Korban Chova. Now, if we entertain the possibility that Shalol Lishma still generates a Kapara, then if you're obligating him to bring a second Korban, that Korban becomes a Nedava. So Bishlam, in the case of Ola, I can begin to appreciate that even if there was an element of kapara achieved by the first karban, nevertheless it's a quasi kind of kapara, and the obligation of the neder is to bring a full kapara, and therefore he has to replace it with a karban ola. And even if he was miskapa with the first karban, the second karban should be no worse than a karban nedava, like the case of two olos that he brought for zechar zeh. But if on the other hand you're talking about a karban asham, a korban oshem can never come ben dova. So mimarafshach, if you're going to tell me he was miskaper with the first korban, why is he replacing it with another oshem? That Osham becomes an Adovah. And Ola, I can tolerate that. I can't tolerate that in Osham. And if you can tell me that he achieved absolutely no Kapara through the Osham, what's an Osham without Kapara? That was Rav Sheshes' question. An Osham without Kapara could not possibly be a carbon kosher. Now, the Rosh Hashivah quotes not only Tosfos on Daf Samach Dalid, but Rashi as well. Both Rashi and Tosfos agree that we're talking about a carbon asham. So what's the Rosh Hashiva's problem here? He says, Tzarech biur, e mairi bi asham. Why is Rashi and Tosfos, both of them, why do they have to, quote, evoke this principle that ein asham bab in a dova? He says, typically, the asham leker neder, v'chol mashibahu l'chapar al cheto, v'ikiber amayavi shum asham. Forget about the halacha of ein karban asham bab in a dova. The only way you can get a kedushas asham, you could be magdish a karban asham, is based on a chet, based on some sort of responsibility or obligation. Correct? So there's no such thing as a neder. I can't take a neder to bring a karban asham. Not because of the halacha of the dova, but simply because the Oshem is coming to be mechaper on some chet, so the whole carbon evolves or is generated by a chet. Now, if we assume that the Oshem that was brought shalom l'shma, according to one side of the Gemara, is mechaper, so the chet was mechayev him in a carbon Oshem, the carbon Oshem was brought shalom l'shma, the afal pichen was mechaper. If it was mechaper, then there could be no neder for another Oshem. And it would be impossible for him to bring a second asham to replace the first asham. The whole concept of replacing the first asham with a second asham, if he was miskaper with the first asham, is totally erroneous. Even if I would grant you that then you could bring a voluntary asham, ha ein kol chiyuv lahavi ashamo achashin iskaper. Cheto, in other words, Asham is coming on a chet, right? And if Asham is coming on a chet, then once he achieved kapara for that chet, how can he possibly bring a carbon Asham to replace the first carbon? So this is what he's bothered by. Again, fundamentally, he understands that Rav Sheshes is kasha here, that if he was miskaper with the first carbon, shalom l'shma, why would he bring a second carbon? And if he wasn't miskaper, how could we bring the first carbon? That could be talking about a carbon asham. That's fine. But why do Rashi and Tosfos have to evoke the halacha, the principle of ein asham bab in a dava? Forget about that. The whole essence of a carbon asham is a chet. If he was already miskaper for that chet, then we can't even talk about any sort of a neder, forget about nedava, but any sort of a neder to bring a carbon asham without chet. Asham is for a chet. That's the subject of this Simon Ayin Beis.
Basically, it's the same question. It's the same sushka that they put for Ola, except that by Ola you could squeeze a lot of it by saying you're bringing it as an nedava. It says now you're stuck.
So Rashi and Tosfos say that the reason why Rav Sheshes was stuck over here is because we weren't talking about an Ola. He wouldn't have been bothered by a Karban Ola, because even if you'll tell me he was miskaper with the first Karban Shalom Shema, he still has an Adava. But what bothered Rav Sheshes, Rav Shisha, according to both Rashi and Tosfos on Daf Samach Dalet, is that we're talking about an Asher. He could tolerate an Ola, because an Ola is Bob and Adava, but an Asher is ain't a Bob and Adava. So the Rashi is asking, forget about Ein Ola Bob and Adava, drop that. The entire essence of a Karban Asham and the way we are Magdish a Karban Asham is because of Chet. Chet generates a Chiyuv of an Asham. And therefore, Rav Sheshes' Kash is very pressing. If he was miskaper with the Asham Shalom Lishma, is Lama Huba, why are you bringing Asham? You can't talk about Chet and then say in the same breath, well, he was miskaper on the Chet. So therefore, forget about the principle of Ein Asham Bab in a Dov. Okay, that's as far as Siman Ayin Beis is concerned. But I gave you two other choices here. Well, I gave myself two other choices. One of them is going to be Samach Zayin, which we started but we never finished. And the other is going to be Samach Tes.
You're saying
there's no answer to the end. To the two shnei, you're saying it's a new time. We're talking about Ola.
I mean, you're talking about
Asham. That's the subject of the Siman Ayin Beis. Ayin Shon. You know, that's where I only got to the Kasha. He has a whole Siman to try to answer this question. Now, where was the Raivid that we did in Torah's Kohen? Is that here in Samach? Oh, yeah, that's also in Samach Zion. So my recommendation is that let's try to see if we can finish up on Samach Zion. Yeah? You have that?
Yep.
All right. Bravo, you don't have it, do you? I think I have a copy for you somewhere. Where did I put it? That's the only question.
Don't worry. I loaned him some of my photographic.
Oh, okay, good. By osmosis. How come I'm sitting here and I didn't get any of it? That's what I don't know. Okay. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Just in case you want it, you know, again, I don't want to insult you and say you don't have a photographic memory. You see where it says Samach Zion? Okay, good. Just make sure that you have all the pages can say there, because most of all, what we want to do is halfway through this Siman Samach Zion. In fact, see if you can find a paragraph that starts Vanira Mavur. Again, there may be a couple of candidates Vanira, but I'm looking for Vanira Mavur. Can you tell me what page it's on?
Ayin Vav.
Okay, I have it on Ayin Dal. It's on Ayin Vav.
Right.
Now, this is the thesis of the Nefesh Tova. Right here in this paragraph in Nira Mavur, he presents his breakthrough Shita. And for our purposes, we're going to try to accept it and build on it. You could question it, but that's not what we're going to do today. And he says the following, that with regard to classical Yerusha, universal Yerusha, the father is out of the picture. When the father dies and the son inherits the father, or whoever relative inherits the father, then that's it. There's full-fledged bialus on the part of the Yorish. Not so with regard to Karbanos. Here, Yerusha's Karbanos is halacha in which the Yoresh brings his father's karban. Now, is it still the karban of Aviv? On the other hand, the meskaper is going to be the Yoresh. Let's assume Yoresh Kanya, Yerusha Kanya, not like Rabbi Yochanan. So the old Yerusha Kanya, what does it mean, Kanya? Kanya le'inyan kapara, but not le'inyan bala karban, not le'inyan chovas ha'av. The chovas ha'av remains the Chovas Ha'av, nothing changed. If that be the case, then we could justify why the Yoresh is Meimir, because as we said many times, the Meimir is the Mechaper, right? Let's read it again. Miskaper also Tmura. Okay. That's going to be a problem for Rabbi Yochanan because he holds Yerusha Lo Kanya. But we're holding Yerusha Kanya. But what's the nature of the Kenyan? The Kenyan is to generate a din of Miskaper. But he's Miskaper Bekarban Ov. That's his thesis. He wants to answer up a bunch of kashas with this thesis. He says, for example, why do we need a pasuk to tell me that there is Yerusha Bekarbanos? if there's a general din of Yerusha, why not apply it to Karbanos? And he says the answer is because if not for this pasuk, I would think that since the Karban is still the Karban Aviv, and the Ben therefore has no rights to the Karban, who says that he could be miskaper? So we need this new Gzeres HaKosuv that says that a Yoresh could be a miskaper. That would explain why we need a pasuk to tell me that he could be Meimer. Because if not for the pasuk, we would have had a Havamina that a Yoresh could not be Meimer because it's not his karma. The Kamashmalan is no, since he has Bailus Lini Kapara, he can be Meimer. Now, based on this, he wants to answer the question called Hafrosha Kodamachet. The Gemara on Daf Vav, the very next Gemara that we didn't read today, but we've seen it in the past, establishes that the Chet has to come before the Hafrasha, but not after the Hafrasha. So if it was Hafrasha Kodem L'Chet, the Karban is possible. So he comes up with a brilliant Chiddush. This is in the next paragraph, Ulefizeh. And he sets up what I call a T'nai of Im. What does he say? He says the following. Let's assume that the father and the son both violated the same chet while the father was alive. Now the father was mafrish his karban for his chet, and then he died. So you'll tell me that when the son is makriv the karban, he wants to achieve kapara, he wants to achieve kapara for his chet, the son's chet, then it's Hafrasha Kodem Achet. Why? Because every Hakrova has to relate back to the Hafrasha, meaning to the Chet of the Hafrasha. And the Chet of the Hafrasha was his father's Chet, not his Chet. So he says the following. No. The Zchus of the son to be Miskaper with his father's Karban in event of Yerusha is built into the very hafrosh of the carbon itself. So again, we have two people, the father and the son, both violating the same chet, individually. The father now goes ahead and he's mafish a carbon for his chet, and then he dies. How is it possible for this hakrova, which is being brought on by the son, by the yoresh, to be machaper on his behalf, when in fact it's the hafrosh of this karban was not for his chet but rather for the father's chet? Are you with me so far? So he says the following. He says kevan de bailus ha'aval karban kayemes afli achar misa rak de yesh leben zchus kapara bekarban aviv is memeli yeshloma de li olam. This, do you have a place inside? Because this you should underline. That this chus kapar b'karban aviv is li'olam kayemes. Again, what does the word li'olam mean? The maisa hafrosh shel av. In other words, we date ourselves back to the hafrosh of the av. And at the time of the hafrosh of the av, we have some sort of a conditional hafrosha on behalf of the kaparas haben. Again, assuming the Ben is guilty of the same sin. So let me read it to you again. These are the key words. Li olam kayemes chus zu, meaning the chus kapar of the son. Lekach b'mais afrosh shel av, mahani nami lemashem es kapar bo ben. So we go back to the etzem mais afrosh, because again, you always need afrosh kodem lechet, and if you have to have afrosh kodem lechet, I'm sorry, that's going to be possible. You always need chet kodem afrosh. So if you need chet kodem afrosh, then in order for the carbon to be miskaper on behalf of Mr. X, we'll call him, there has to be some relationship to the chet that came before the hafrosha. And that's what he wants to say, that the mais hafrosh shalei av is for anyone who's miskaper on this carbon, anyone who has, to be more specific, a schus kapara, and who has a conditional schus kapara on this carbon, the yorish.
Let's assume the father knows about the chet of the son.
I don't think it depends on the psychological framework or frame of mind of the father. this is already a din in Afrasha, that anyone who has a schus al pi din to be miskaper via this Afrasha is the Afrasha's chal vis-a-vis that miskaper. Why? Because he has a schus kapara. You can sink your teeth into the schus kapara that he has at the time of that Afrasha. The Islay Leben schus kapara bekarben aviv im yamus. Again, we'll find out later whether or not this schus kapara is material, you know, materializes itself, if you follow my point. It's yotzal afal, that we'll know later on. But as far as the afrosh is concerned, the afrosh is related not just to the chet of the father, but also to the chet of the ben. Where do we find such a concept of a broadening of the afrosh, such that afrosh can be on behalf of one person's chet and at the same time be related to another person's chet? So this we find in the Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchos Shgagos, and it's Perek Gimel Halacha Gimel, and the part of the Rambam that's relevant to us is in the paragraph that starts with Tzarech Lomar. Let me just make sure I'm right about that, which is an earlier paragraph. No, I'm sorry, the paragraph that starts Eled Tzarech Im, which is two paragraphs earlier than the one that we're doing now, or three paragraphs. Okay, it's on Ayin Hey. Elo Ditzarch Iyun. He quotes the Rambam in Perek Gimel Halacha Gimel of the Shkagos. The Rambam says, "V'ein Tzarch Lomar She'im Hefrisha Aviv Umeis." So the father, let's say, ate Chelev, and then he was mafresh. He ate Chelev b'shogeg. He was mafresh a karbon. Then he died. V'haya haben mechuyev bi'oso hachet. The son himself was guilty of the same sin, meaning he also ate Chelev. So the Rambam says, but for this we have to just reiterate what the Rambam says before this paragraph. This is the end of the paragraph. The Rambam says that in the case of Chatos, every single Chet generates its own carbon Chatos, its own Chiv Chatos. Correct? So the Rambam says, if that be the case, then the Ben's Chet will generate its own Chiv Chatos, and therefore this Chatos is not related to the Ben. So the Rashiva asks the following question: why did the Rambam have to introduce this halacha that kol chatos bal kol chet, chet echad per chatos, and each chet requires its own chatos? Forget about that. Why not just say there's a problem in afrasha, that afrasha was kodem l'chet? Again, when we say kodem l'chet, we don't mean what we think we mean. According to Rashiva, Rashiva speaks a different language than we do. His kodem l'chet means
a different person.
Yeah, that it's a different person. Even if that other person was guilty of the same sin at the time, prior to that frusha, it doesn't matter. That frusha is related to one person, not to another person. To one chait, not to another chait. So why didn't the Rambam point that out over here? Forget about the fact that, the son's chait generates its own carbon chatos. He has to bring a carbon chatos that's exclusively... The Rambam is talking about a chatos. Listen to the Rambam's language. The Rambam says, "Ain't tzarech lomar Shem Hifrisha Aviv Umeis, V'haya Ben Mechuyu Bi Oso Chet." I mean, we're talking about a chatos here. Lo Yivienu Ben Al Chet O. He can't bring a carbon because that carbon was not related to his chet. So the Rashi wants to know, why didn't the Rambam mention the Afrasha? The Afrasha wasn't related to the Ben's chet. So the answer is because there's this new expanded halacha of Afrasha, that the Afrasha, the father, is chal, again conditionally, but is chal on behalf of the Ben's chet in event that the Ben is Yorish the Karban. So if this Karban itself is never brought by the father for his chet, then the Afrasha now becomes Afrasha on behalf of the son's chet. Again, assuming the son violated the chet before the Afrasha. So now that Afrasha is related to more than one person. Fascinating idea. Now again, I'm not going to equate this, but we did have a kind of expanded Afrasha in the case of what? Remember Gemara Chagiga?
Yeah.
I'm just, testing your memory because you have a phenomenal memory.
I'm going through the pages.
Right, you're going through the pages. That was the case of Mardim. You remember Mardim? Where he was mafresh. Right, he was mafresh for the first regel, and then at the end, the Gemara says, because it got lost, and blah, 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 he replaced it with another carbon, he's going to bring that same carbon that he was mafresh for the first regel and the second regel. So that's also a kind of expansionary din of hafrosh. And he says the following. This is a paragraph, ubazeh. He says that the Gemara says that how could the Yoresh be miskaper with his father's karvan? And the Gemara answers the ika esse liyarshel, that the Yarshim have violations of esse. And which karvan is going to be miskaper on violations of an esse? An ola. So therefore, if the father was mafresh a karvan ola in his lifetime, the Yarshim could bring that carbon ola and they will achieve kapara. And the Gemara says, for what avera they can achieve kapara? For the essay, for the violation of an essay. Now again, the old question comes back to haunt us. Fine, the Yarshim have violations of essay, but the afrosha was done on behalf of the father's chet or essay, whatever it was. So the answer is that this is a new din of Yerusha's Karban. That in the context of Yerusha's Karban, we have a din that says that the original Afrasha, the father, was Afrasha also on behalf of the Ben. In other words, we're not going to say, like we would say in a classical case of Yerusha, that at the moment of a person's death, there's a new din of bailus that's engendered by Yerusha. No, we're going to say that the Yerusha is inherent in the carbon itself from the moment of its afrasha. And the afrasha was on behalf of the Yarshim, potentially, if they need to be miskaper through this carbon. And that gives us the paragraph ulam. He says the following. All this makes sense if you were talking about a carbon like an ola, but not in the case of a yoledes. He says, "Kol ze mahanya dafka le'inyin shiskapua ben al esim v'lo mikri cheta li'achra afrosham le'inyin adina omer b'chatos." And in a minute he's going to talk about yoledes. Be'inon shetei afrosha al chet zeh. Is lo mahani the sof called sof? Ein afrosha el chovas aviv. V'im kein akati kosher ahod bash begmar dim yorash abbas karba yoledes. Then yicholus kaper ba al leidasa. She herself is a yoledes. Kein da kati karav al leidasa ein. So he says the following. You know, we've solved one problem, but we haven't solved the second problem. In the case of a yoledes, and now she dies, and her daughter is also yoledes, you could solve the problem of hafrasha. It's not considered hafrasha kol mechet, because in some sense she, as an heir, has rights to the kapara im, right? If he'll die, if she'll die, the mother in this case. But we have another problem in the case of yoledes, and that is that every leida requires its own karma. And if the karma has to be brought because of the leda of the mother, how could that karma now be brought as a chova, as a kiyum chovas ha bas? Again, let's just review. We have two halachas. We have one halacha. Again, these two halachas apply to, just as an introduction, apply to chatos and apply to yoledes, to olas yoledes. It has no application to the general case of ola. In the case of general case of ola, we only have one Allah. We don't have two Allahs. So again, in our discussion here about yoledes, we're going to have two Allahs, and in chatos, two Allahs. The father died after he was mafresh a carbon for his chet. The son wants to be miskaper through his father's chatos for his chet, the ben's chet. That's a no-no for one reason, but not for two reasons. The one reason that you would first suggest is because it was Hafrosha Kodem Achet, insofar as the fact that the Hafrosha is not related to the son's Chet, but rather to the father's Chet. That doesn't bother. Yesh Pitaron Labayaz. And what's the solution? The solution is our expanded Hafrosha. That the son, insofar as he has the Schus Yerusha as a Miskaper, therefore we expand the Etzem Hafrosha. But we have another problem in Chatos. And that was the Rambam in Hilchus Shkogos Per Gimel Alochi Gimel. And that is that every chait is machayiv its own carbon. So since the chait of the father is machayiv its carbon, if the son has a chait, he also ate chaylev or dam, he's got to bring a carbon that's specifically, uniquely related to his chait. And that's going to be the problem. That's why the Rambam says that ein tzarech lomashim in frisha aviv hu meis v'haya ben mechuyiv bi'oso achet shalo yavienu ben al cheta. And here the Rambam doesn't add the words v'im hevi kipe, that like he does in the case of an ol. Now we get to Yoledes. The mother designated a karbon for her leda. So you'll tell me, well, that hafrosha can be expanded to include the leda of the bas, insofar as she has a schus in kapara on this karbon because she's going to inherit this karbon in event that her mother died. That's fine. But you have another problem. And that is that the Gemara establishes that each leda requires its own karma. And if this karma was designated for the leda of the mother, how are you going to transfer it over to the bas so such that she could be miskaper with the karma of her mother? And here he introduces the sugya in Krisus. That's the paragraph that starts with Tzarech Lom. We said that every single leda generates its own chiyuv karbon. But if you're a true brisker, there are tzvei dinim. There's one din in terms of chovas gavra, and there's another din in terms of machshir. What do I mean by machshir? A yoledes, since she's in the state of tumas leda, when she completes that state and achieves tahara, she has to bring a series of karbonos. Those karbonos are classified as a machshir. Why? Because they complete her process of tahara, and they allow her to enter into the Beis HaMikdash, or to eat kodesh. So the Gemara in Krisus says that if a woman had multiple births, she's going to have to bring a karbon for each birth. But the Gemara also says that once she brought her first karbon, she's allowed to enter into the Mikdash, even though she's going to have to. The Gemara has a dramatic case where she gave birth five times. I don't know if she gave birth five times simultaneously with one birth. But Ha'isha she'eshal le'ahei ledos, so she can bring one karbon, and she can really eat kodshim and go into the mikdash. So it's her tara, her heksha process, is clinched with the first karbon. It's kind of like matan damim, where according to Beis Hillel, once you do the first matana, you didn't do the other three, alright, the karbon is kosher. Hashar oleha chova. What does it mean, oleha? Chovas gavra. So as far as the machshir is concerned, and an attire that she clinches with one carbon. But as far as the Chovas Gavra is concerned, she's got to bring another four carbonos. And the Gemara derives this conclusion from a Hekesh to Tvila. So let's say, for example, a person was metame himself multiple times. To remove his state of tahara, of his tumah, he can jump into the mikvah once, and that one tvila will be mitayim from five different shratzim, or whatever. But if he has many karbanos to bring for each one of the tumas, then he'll have to do it in, you know, piecemeal with each karban unto itself. So again, the many tumas will generate many chovas gavras of karbon, but as far as hechsher agavra and taras agavra is concerned, they're all one, and if one tefillah is ola al kul. Ubira Griz Nikashne Dinin the Karbonos. You know, I was very surprised that he quotes the Griz, and in the same sentence he writes Shne Dinin. Just joking. I mean, I could have written the script. And all this is a discussion of Mechusrei Kaporo, where the carbon comes to be Gomer the Tahara. Chad of the first din is Shakarbon Metara Machshir Lechel B'Kodshi. That means the carbon is a Metayer. Number two, there's a Chovas. Okay, I would add the word Gavra here, but he doesn't have it. Chovas Havas HaKarbonos. For who did Bifnei Atzma? Milvad Hechshera. In other words, above and beyond the first karba, which is enough to clinch the tara, we have additional multiple karbonos that have to be brought, and that's called din bifnei atzmo, in order to achieve the fulfillment of his or her obligation. So if you're counting chiyuvim in the case of five ledos, how many chiyuvim are there? Five. If you're counting mechaprim, how many korbanos on mechaper?
One.
Oh, in Cain, Yesh Lomar, he wants to apply this lomdus to our sugya. To hadamash megmar diko leda gabi bas. So if the mother gave birth and she was mafresh a korban, the daughter also gave birth and she wants to use the korban of her mother to be miskaper. Lav lemeimer diyala korban zelachovasa. The Gemara never meant to entertain the possibility that with this one karmon, she's finished. No, for sure she has to bring another karmon, because she had a leda, and each leda needs its own karmon. But as far as mechaprim is concerned, since she has a zchus l'skaper through the parish of Yerusha, therefore she can achieve the kapara through this karmon. I'll be right with you. No, she certainly has to bring her own carbon for her lady. Ella, what does she gain by bringing the mother's carbon? In other words, as far as chiyuvim is concerned, well, every leda requires its own chiyuv. So this karmon is only going to be ola lechovasa of the mother's leda. Nevertheless, it is meaningful as far as the bas is concerned. She's the miskaper, and therefore she can eat kodshin. She can enter into the Beis HaMikdash. Fascinating idea, no? That her, the bas's dipping into the carbon of her mother is only b'taras machshir, but not b'taras chova. B'taras chova, enochinami, every lady requires its own carbon and generates its own independent chiyuv carbon, and she had her leda that has nothing to do with her mother's leda. She has to bring a carbon for her leda. This carbon is for the mother's leda. What does she gain through Yerusha? And the answer is she gains Hechsher and Tara. Let's just read the last few lines. He says, Kamo, Dulagabi Aim, Nami Mahani Litara Mileda Shnia. He says the following. He says, as far as the mother is concerned, but what does he mean, Mahani Litara Mileda Shnia? Oh, yeah. So had the mother had two births, she could be matar herself with one karbon, and that's the same status that we transfer over to the bas. She can achieve tahara with one karbon. Why is she a miskaper? Because she had that zchus kapar b'toras yorish. She has a chiv to bring for her own ledah. The mother also has a chiv to bring on. She brought one carbon for one lady. She's going to have to bring a second carbon for the second lady. But what the first carbon achieves is it's a machaper. I shouldn't call it a machaper. I should call it a machshir or a metaher. And that's true for the daughter as well. Mm-hmm. Dr. John, you wanted to ask something before.
It seems like you just, the word mechaper and makshir, you're just interchanging them.
No, I'm sorry, that was a mistake on my part. Leave out the word mechaper. I'm sorry. I meant to say metairo or makshir, but those two are interchangeable. Not mechaper. Do you remember we once did a sugya menachos of Rabbi Yirmiyah? And Rabbi Yirmiyah said, don't equate and don't confuse mechaprim and metarim, or mechaprim and machshirim. For example, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah Menachos, Daf Hey, I think it was, we said that if the carbon is not machshir, it's possible in Gansan. So for example, a carbon hamachshir that was brought shalol lishma is possible. Our Mishnah says, kol hazvachim shenizvuchu shalol lishma is ksherim, that's because we're talking about a carbon hamachaper. Now, whether that means there is some kapara, as we saw today, some vestige of mikufya, a temporary kind of patchwork kapara, in the case of a machaper that was brought shalol lishma or not, I don't know. But whatever it is, the carbon is kosher. So you can subtract the ikar kapara from a carbon through shalol lishma, and still the carbon remains kosher. But Rabbi Yirmiyah says you can't do the same thing in the case of a machshir. It's a yes or no answer. It's all or nothing. Either it is a machaper. Either it is a machshir or it's not a machshir. Now we're saying that in Hilchos Machshirim there are two dinim. There's machshir and then there's yotzi dechovos. And it could be that we separate between the two. You can have a carbon a machshir aval adayin akati lo yotzi dechovos. And that's going to be the case of a yoledes sheyarsha. Carbon on ima with the mapikei, that she has the power to set up a carbon that will be a machshir for her, and that's a schus that she gets through Yerusha. But as far as the chova is concerned, no dice. She's going to have to bring her own carbon. Where do we find a breakthrough for that? In the case of a woman who had multiple births, right? She had five ledos. She only brought one carbon. It's a machshir. She's now achieved complete tahara, assuming she took care of all the other requirements as far as dam and mikvah and so forth is concerned. But if you ask me as far as chov is concerned, she had five ladles, she's going to have to bring a separate carbon for each lady.
It seems to me, I may be wrong, but it seems to me they're being imprecise when they refer to the father, who was then subsequently the nifter, referred to him as the baal. He has the baal korban. He's not really, since what the only thing is the Yorish is getting the Yerusha, is he's getting the Suyos from that korban, but he's not getting the Yerusha, the Gufa korban, because the Gufa korban doesn't belong to his father either. It belongs to the Beis Hamikdash. Because Amir al Gilboa is Sarasim Sarasul Ehdian, so that as soon as he was mafresh it belongs to the Beis Hamikdash.
So Alan, again, I hear what you're saying, but the one thing I object to what you're saying is Amir Rasul Gavah, because we're not talking about Kedushas Domim, we're talking about Kedushas Haguf, Lemizbeah. The other thing that you said might be very right, that maybe the father is completely out of the picture with his death. But we're holding now that this, in order to answer all the questions in the sugi, again, if you don't empathize with all the kashas, then you won't empathize with the teretz. But that the reason why the karban is being brought by the yarshim, again, the yarshim may have their own benefit from it because they have a schus kapara. But if you ask me why the karban is being brought, it's because the chovas ha'av. Right. Because in Kachim, in Zvachim, we're separating between the Bala Karbon and the Miskaper. And it could be two different people. So that even if Ein Kapar LeMason, he still remains the Bala Karbon. What does it mean, the Bala Karbon? He took upon himself a Chova. That Chova engenders a Shibud on his part to bring that Karbon. And the Yarshim will be able to fulfill their father's Shibut, their father's Chova. So the Chova is Aviv, and the Kapar is the Karas HaBen. The Chiddush of the Rashiva is that in Dinei Hafrasha, I can grant you that the father's Hafrasha can generate a possibility of Kapara for the Ben. And even in the initial Hafrasha, the Ben's Chus, as a future Yorish, of being a Miskaper, is already inherent in the Hafrasha. But says the Rashi, don't go too far with this. That's not going to help me in the case of Leda, because in the case of Leda, I need a separate carbon for each Leda. Just like we saw in the Rambam, in the case where the father was mafresh chatos on his chet, the son, after his father's death, cannot bring that chatos for his own chet, because each chet requires its own karma. And the Rosh Yeshiva says the same identical mechanics applies to Leda, that every Leda requires its own karma. The Gemara in Krisa says that if a woman has five births and she hasn't yet brought a karma, she'll have to bring a karma Leda, Yoledes, for each one of those Ledas. So therefore the Rosh Yeshiva asks the following question: if the Gemara, our sugya here on Daf Hayam and Beis, going on to, had only been addressing the case of a classical zevach, then you can understand where the Yerusha comes in, and the schus yoresh to be miskaper with the carbon of his father could be understood, could be justified. But if you're talking about Yoledes, the Gemara explicitly mentions that the bas was Yoledes, she has to bring a carbon for her leda. What good does it make if she's bringing a carbon for her mother's leda? And the Rosh Yeshiva here at this point says, you're right. Within the context of chiyuvei karban, she for sure will have to bring her own karban for her own leda. But there's another din, and that only applies to mechusrei kapara, where again, it sounds like kapara, but really means mechusar taro, mechusar machshir. That, you know, that's a little tricky. And in mechusrei kapara, the din is that one karban is enough to generate that hechsher, or that tahara, that's necessary to allow the tamei now to go into the Beis HaMikdash. So when our sugya postulates that she, the bas, hayoledes, could bring the carbon of leda of her mother, the Gemara didn't have in mind the chova. The chova, for sure, she has to bring a carbon for her leda. But what the Gemara had in mind is the machshir power. And that's why the Gemara says in Krisa Daf Ches that if a woman has given birth five times and she brings one carbon, she's already allowed to go into the Mikdash and she can eat kosher. That's the din of a mach.
So I don't understand. The one thing I didn't understand is what do you talk about? How that when he was mafrish the carbon, why is that amir, not amir la gavoa?
Again, I wouldn't call it amir la gavoa, because the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, this is a very famous Gemara, mikar tura deruvin v'hashna tura deruvin. Yeah. That, for example, if your shor gor is my shor, after I was magdashit, I can demand compensation from you. You have to pay me for the shor.
So
the Gemara asks, what do you mean he was magdashit? It doesn't belong to him. How can he be tovev because the shor went down the tubes? And the Gemara answers, make karak tura deruvin v'hashna tura deruvin. That even though I'm Yerusha L'Gavoh, I can see Yerusha L'Hegdash, that's only in Kedushas Domin, if I take this
correct
table,
correct,
and I'm Magdash. But if I take an animal and I say, I raise you Ola, it's still my Ola, I own it.
Why he said
it doesn't belong to Hegdash, there's no din of Kedushas Yerusha L'Hegdash Domin, Meikara Tura Deruvim Ashtar Tura Deruvim.
Yeah,
I think we discussed this in the past, maybe in the Brisk issue, maybe not in this.
But the Maisi is, it doesn't even make any difference. That's not much of a nafkamina, because even if you say it doesn't matter, that it really belongs to Gavoha. So what? So you don't owe carbon, but you don't get any kapara because you didn't get to the rest of the ceremony, so to speak. There's no dam, there's no nothing. So you want to stand on ceremony, that's fine, but you're never going to get kapara. You have to bring another carbon. There's no other way out of it.
In what case? In the case of Shlo Lishmo?
No, even if
what,
you say...
What are we talking about?
Even if you say that you were already Makdish Behema.
Right.
And then you say, Amir Olegvah Kim Siros on the Hedjah, then it belongs to Hektish. Normally you would say, if you were just bringing an Adava, you were bringing in an Adava, and then you'd say, look, I already gave it, it's your problem. It's because if something happened to the behema. But it doesn't do you any good when you have a chiyuv, because when you have a chiyuv, it's very good, so it's very true. It belonged to Hektish. But meanwhile, you still didn't get a kapara. The only way you can get a kapara is to bring another behema.
Because this one got lost.
Yeah,
it died.
It's gone. It's hell.
Right. So now he quotes the Raivan. But let's just summarize. He has an overview of the sugya here in the paragraph starts with Nimsa, and then he introduces the Raivan in the next paragraph. He says, Hadi Amrinon Dimichaper al Essay Di Yarshim Hayim Yishum Dal Yidei Din Yerusha Miskapra Ben Bekarben Aviv V'Choshiv Maisa Afrosha Gam Ke Hafroshoso. And that's the sequum of everything we did. Ulam, he says, B'divri Arayvet V'Perusha Toros Kohanim Uvur Loke. And what does it say in the Toros Kohanim? It says, Yikach Lo. He should take the karbon, and the Toros Kohanim says, Lo Li Atzmo. She'im hefrisho lizivaso harishona, lo yaviyim lizivaso hashniyim. So yikach lo is in the parasha of a zav or a zava, that's mechusrei kapara. And if let's say he had two different zivos, each ziva is mechayev that he bring a separate karbon, and lo means in hefrisho lirishona, lo yaviyim lezivas ashniya. So again, so far that's not a kasha. Before we see the raiva, that's fine because each ziva generates its own chiyuv karbon. Oh, kasev a raiva shom da havile kimo di amina bechatos chelev shemefrish al chelev shachal emesh lo yaviyen al chelev shachal hayom. The afal gabdil gabi ziva mikilina tuva disnana isha shayu alea. Oh, that's the sugi increase that we just saw. Is she can already eat kodshim after the first karva was brought? Vashara alea chova hani mili kshefrisha karban echad al kula. I will im ifrishaso al ziva achas en yechol shanosa. Al ziva acheres. I can't lishon. Wait. Just give me a minute, Alan. I'm sorry. Let me just try to put things into order here, so we understand on a simple level what's going on over here. The Raivin is not differentiating between two dimensions as we did before: the chovas karbon and the hechshera karbon. In the Raivin's mind, they're all one and the same, and therefore the Raivin wants to know, how do we square this din of ziva, that each ziva needs its own karbon, with the fact that in the case of ziva, or similar to ziva, if she brought one karbon, then she's okay. V'ol ocheles bizvachim. And the Ravid sees that as a stira to the Toras Kohanim, who says that in ziva each carbon generates its own. Generates its own carbon. Lechora, the Ravid's kasha is no kasha. According to all the principles that we've established, the Ravid has no issue over here because eino chinami. It's true when it says yikach lo liasve official zivos rishona. He has to bring another one for zivos hashniya. That's true, but at the same time, as far as Hechsher is concerned, one carbon is enough. Why does Raven ask the following? V'af al gav ditnan ha'isha shayolah heledos mevia carbon echad v'ochelos bezvachim. That's not a kasha. The Raven is no kasha. That's talking about Hechsher and Tara. There, enochinami, she can eat zvachim after she brought one carbon. As far as the chova is concerned, she has to bring a carbon for each leda. And therefore, in the case of ziva, the Toras Kohanim is 1,000% correct, without any issues. Shem efrisha lechata lezivas hashon, he's going to need another carbon for zivas hashniya.
If she dafka had in mind only one ziva, then it would not cover the other ones automatically.
Well, that's going to be the Ravid's answer to the kasha. Right. But even before we get to the Ravid's answer, Lechori, he's comparing apples and oranges.
Yeah, that's right.
What he says over here. Mavur b'dvarav, the aflinyan hechsher, be'inon shiye karba mufrash al osoleda. In other words, the Ravid's not distinguishing between hechsher and chova. And he's saying that to the same extent in chova, you need what? You need a hafrasha for each leda bifnei atzvo. Then in hechsher also you should require the same thing. But that's not true. She can bring any one of the five karbanos for any one of the five ledos. You can match it up in any way. As long as she brought one carbon, she's already mitayeres mitumot. It doesn't matter if that carbon is not related to that specific ziva or that specific leda. That's irrelevant. The Ravid says the whole thing, Hayimifrisha al kula. What's the problem? And here's where the Torah's Kodim rises to, you know, steps up to the plate. Hifrishas al ziva achas. Eina yachol shanos al ziva achas. That's not true. Because as the Gemara establishes increases, if she brought one carbon for one of the ledos, then she's completely tahora and she can enter into the mikdash. It doesn't matter whether or not she brought it for this ledo or for that ledo.
No, that's not afrasha.
So in the case of afrasha, why does the rabbi say that if he was mafresh for one ziva, it can't be meaningful for the other ziva? So he's stating the rabbi, right?
But that's not so. The Gemara that says that if she brings it for one, that's enough. And
right. So again, as long as she brings it for one of the various ledos, it doesn't matter for which. She can already be matar herself. So in the case of Ziva, Enochinami, if he brought one cup for one of his Zivas, if he was a Zav, or in the case of a Zava, for one of his Zavos, Enochinami, she can be matar herself with that carbon. Why is the Ravid insisting no? She's got to be matar herself for each Ziva with a separate carbon that's brought for that Ziva. That's not true. The Ravid would be right if he was talking about Chovas HaKarbon. Then each Ziva generates its own Chova, and each carbon has to be brought for that chova, for that specific ziva. But the Ravid's talking about Hechsher Lachilas Vachim. The Hechsher Lachilas Vachim doesn't require that each ziva bring a carbon for that particular ziva, but rather for the Hey Ledo, she could bring one carbon, and we don't care which Ledo it's brought for. And nevertheless, she can eat zvach.
You just said beforehand that
Dr. Shon, can I ask you a big favor? Can you open up the door? It's just that, you know, I want to make sure that I don't miss mincha, because today. Okay, they're not up to mincha. Yeah, good. We'll leave the door open.
You started the preamble to this part over here by the Ravid was exactly that. The Ravid said there is no separation between the actual korban and the tahara that it gives. That he held it. There is no, not like
right. In other words, there's one din of chova and makab and makshir. It's all one. So the Ravid says that just like each ledo stands on its own, or each ziva, to require its own carbon, so to for hefsher. So that's what Rashi was pointing out, that the Ravid did not accept our shtickle Torah. You know, we had a tzvei din in here, and the Ravid's not operating with tzvei.
But he also said one other thing that Ravid said clearly too is it's not mahaba, like we see learned earlier by Ola. That it could also be the tie.